So today we're going to learn a little more about Yitzchak, our father Isaac. The third reading, we hear about Yitzchak's success. He does really well. The locals are not too excited about Yitzchak's success. Chapter 26, verse 15. The Torah tells us, Vayikano Eisei Pelishtim. The Pelishtim were jealous of Yitzchak's success. And because they were jealous, they decided to harm his interests. V'chol ha-be'eres, asher chofru, avdei aviv, be'yimei Avraham, all of the wells that had been dug during the days, dug by the servants of his father in the days of Avram, the servants of his father could have dug them afterwards also. But these are the servants of Avram Avinu who dug them during the terrestrial life of Avram Avinu. Sitmum Pelishtim. The Pelishtim filled them, sealed them. Vayimalum Ofer, they filled them with earth. In other words, they undid the effects of whatever Avram Avinu had accomplished. Sitmum Pelishtim. So let's take a look in Rashi, verse 15. We're going to hear about Yitzchak redigging those very same wells. And the question is, why did the Philistines seek to fill the wells? I mean, water is good for everybody. Why wouldn't they be able to benefit? And Yitzchak seems very intent on redigging those wells. So, you know, there's always an excuse. Anti-Semites always have an excuse for harming the Jews. What was the excuse? Mipnei she'amru, because they said, takola himlanu. These wells will be a stumbling block for us. They'll get in the way of our own peace and security. Mipnei hagayasos, because of other marauding bands of soldiers or armies or forces that will invade us. And when that happens, habois aleinu will come upon us. And then they'll have water to drink, because Avram Avinu built these wells along the highways. And so the army that invades us, that tries to harm us, will be able to find themselves hydrated and well-fed because of these wells. So therefore, they said it's a matter of national concern, national security. Does that sound familiar? That's like, the Jews are undermining our national security. We have to build ourselves a strong nation so we can be mighty, powerful, well-protected, and therefore, Tamoinin Pelishtai, Onklas renders it, the Pelishtim sealed it, Lashon Stima, it was sealed. Or, Belashon HaTalmud, in the language of the Talmud, Mitamtem Es Halev, that there are certain things which seal the heart and disable the heart from feeling and functioning in normative fashion. And the reason why Rashi adds those words is because the word Sitmum is not common yet in the Bible. We haven't had it many times. In fact, it doesn't appear many times altogether. So therefore, Rashi leans on a Mishnah which has similar verbiage, but not an exact match. Now, Rashi's approach is that they deemed it a matter of national security, and that's why they had to do this. That was the excuse they made. According to the Rashbam in the Chizkuni, they said, if the Jews are going to have wells here, if Avram has wells here, basically it's like he owns a part of this land. He is establishing a Jewish presence here. And he said, so this is in our national interest to make sure that the Jews, or Abraham and his children, his family, does not establish a foothold. Now, the concern that Rashi quotes from our sages is more immediate. The concern of Rashbam and Chizkuni is much more futuristic. And the truth is, it's a little far from the simple meaning, because at this point, Avram has but one son. So, like, what, one person is going to take away all the land? He ends up with two sons. So we have two grandchildren. Like, this can't be a worry for generations to come. But for Avram Avinu, for Rashi's approach, it's a concern now. And that's probably where Rashi opts for the first interpretation, that this is an issue of national security. Even though there was no threat yet, but you never know what's going to happen. So when did they do this? It's pretty clear from the Pasuk, Radak says, they did this after the passing of Avram Avinu. And here goes the interesting question. Why did they Why did they first sitmum? First they sealed them, and then it says vayimalum afar. Then they filled them with earth. Seemingly, first you would fill it with soil or earth, and then the result would be that they're filled. But instead, the pasuk records it otherwise. The verse says first sitmum, first they sealed them, and only afterwards does the pasuk say that they filled them with earth. So the Or HaChaim says that this was all about jealousy. It was all about hatred. They hated Yitzchak. They couldn't stand him. They wanted to harm him. And because of that, the first thing they did is they came and they threw boulders into the well. Threw rocks and boulders. And after they finished throwing rocks and boulders, then they came and filled whatever little crevices were left. They filled that with earth. What was their purpose? They wanted to make sure these wells don't get redug. Make it as hard as possible for Yitzchak ever to redig them. If that wasn't enough, if robbing him of his property and ruining his father's wells wasn't enough, Vayomer Avimelech al Yitzchak, Avimelech then conveys a message to Yitzchak. Lech me'imanu, leave this locale, vacate this place. We can't have you living here anymore. Ki otzamta mimenu ma'id, you've become far too powerful, far too successful. We don't feel good with the Jews being so rich and living in our backyard. You need to leave this country now. Once again, as Ramban says in his commentary, here we have the typical example of the Babylonian exile and the exiles that follow. We go somewhere, we're successful, the people get jealous, and then they kick us out. And that has been, tragically, the saga of our nation, time and again. Ki otzamta mimenu, for you have become greater than us. What's the issue? Ramban says it's an embarrassment that Yitzchak's compound was larger and more luxurious than the king's compound. So this is ridiculous. What are you? Our governmental buildings don't look as good. The royal palace doesn't look as good as your house. We can't have you living here. Now, Radak maintains that we have to find some kind of excuse here. It's not going to work just to kick out Yitzchak. After all, Avimelech was so kind to him, and he said whoever's going to harm him or his wife will be put to death, and now he just throws him out. So Radak says they kicked him out of his house, but they did so with a purported concern for his welfare. He said, you know, we need to take you out of here, because if we leave you here, the locals, they're getting riled up. The locals are going to harm you. Exactly what the British did when they threw us out of Hebron. They said, you have to leave Hebron because we have a problem with the locals. You'll come back soon. And basically they kicked us out, took away the homes that belonged to us, gave it to the Arabs. And if you've been following in the media, when we hear Prince Charles blaming all the problems on the Jews, this is the old British attitude, the old British approach, anti-Semitic, never supported the Jews in Israel, always supported the Arabs. Nothing new here. So this is what happened, says Radak. The official excuse was, it's not good for you. This is for your security. We need to evacuate you, because if we leave you here, we can't promise you the locals are not going to launch some kind of pogrom and they're not going to destroy your property. Okay, Yitzchak gets thrown out. The next verse tells us that even though Yitzchak was essentially thrown out of his home, Vayelech Misham Yitzchak, he just dusted himself off, picked himself up, and he moved on and started all over again. No choice. Vayichan benachal Gror, he settled in the Nachal Gror, Vayeshev Shom. And there, Yitzchak settled down. Where is Nachal Gror? Why is the Torah giving us a location? After all, we don't really know where this location is. And if he's going from one city to the next, wouldn't it be a problem again? So Rashi says, Rochik min ha'ir. Gror is a city. Gror is a city, a major Philistine city. But Nachal Gror is the gorge that was outside the city. So he went away from the settled area. He moved into the rural area, far away from where everybody else was living, so that nobody would bother him. Yitzchak went to Nachal Gror, says Ramban. Actually, it was another city that was not under the dominion of Avimelech. So he did cross the border, according to Ramban. Rashi seems to say he just put some space, some distance between him and the rest of the locals. Ramban says, no. He went past border control. This was an area that the Avimelech king did not have the power over. Incidentally, there's a dispute amongst the sages which Avimelech this is. If this is the Avimelech that was the same Avimelech in the time of Avram Avinu, or if Avimelech was like Pharaoh, was the name of a king. Avimelech. You know? So one Avimelech or the other Avimelech, they're all the same. All the Caesars. A Caesar was a Caesar, although the Caesars could have had individual names. And then we had czars, or you had monarchs, or they called them in Khazaria, Kagans or Kaganbeks, however it was. But there was just the name of the monarchy, and it wasn't the same person. Anyway, it may have been, it may not have been. The bottom line is, Yitzchak had to move out. Vayashav Yitzchak goes back. Vayachber es be'eres hamoyim ashachafru b'me Avram. Yitzchak does not allow his father's work and his father's accomplishments to simply fall by the wayside and disappear. He goes back and diligently starts digging those wells all over again. And like we learned, Rechaim says they filled it with rocks, they filled it with earth, they made it really difficult to dig. It was like starting from fresh, you know, but he went back, he dug those wells all over again. And these are the same wells that the Yisatmum Pelishtim, that the Pelishtim people filled Achrei Mois Avram, after the passing of Avram. Yitzchak not only dug these wells, but the Yikro Lehem Shemois Kashemesh Asakor Lehem Avram. He renamed them in similar names to the names that Avram Avinu had given those wells. So the reason, says the Ksav B'Kabbalah, is because the names of these wells had meaning attached to them. And the meaning was this idea of doing tshuva. This was Yitzchak said, I'm going to dig those wells, and I'm going to restore my father's faith back to its former glory. In other words, these were faith wells. These are wells that had a religious theme to it. They had kind of this. They were thematic of spiritual resuscitation, of rejuvenation. That was the names of the wells. So Yitzchak called those wells the same name, as if to say, "We'll continue the work of my father." Vayachperu avdei Yitzchak benachal. Then the servants of Yitzchak began to dig Yitzchak's own wells, and they dug in this gorge. Vayimtzu sham be'er mayim chayim. They found fresh water. Now, if you dig deep enough, you'll find fresh water virtually anywhere. But of course, the trick is to know where to dig, so you don't have to dig 10 miles till you find water. So Yitzchak's servants dig, and yes, in the new area, besides restoring his father's wells, Yitzchak digs his own well. And it's right there in the Nachal, right there in the gorge. Vayarivu Rayegrar. So the shepherds who frequented the gorge of Gror in order to be able to pasture their sheep, they began to quarrel with the servants of Yitzchak. What did they say? Lamer saying, Lano Hamayim, it's our water. You stole our water. And they were fighting with the Rai Yitzchak. So Vayikra Shem HaBe'er Esek, the name of this bear was called contention. Ki hisasku imoy, because they contended with him. In other words, Yitzchak was not allowed to have his well unmolested. Okay, moves on. What are you going to do? Verse 21, Vayachpu Be'er Acheres, they dig another well. Vayirivu Gam Aleha, the enemies of Israel will not remain silent. They came and they started contending with this too. Vayikra Shma, so they called that Sitna. It's like nobody wanted the land of Israel. Palestine, as used to call it, was a desolate piece of real estate, full of swamps and desert. All of a sudden, the Jews came. They made it bloom. Now everybody wants a piece. Everybody wants it. Hey, that's our land. Yitzchak digs a well. All of a sudden, everybody knows the well. Vayatek Misham. So they left there. How long can you fight for? Vayachber Be'er Acheres. They dug yet a third well. And this time, Eloi Ravu Aleha. There was no more contention. They did not fight and quarrel. Vayikra Shma Rechovos. They call this new well Rechovot, which means, comes the idea of Harchava, broad and spacious expanses. And they said, Vayoymer, he said, Ki ata, Hirchav Hashem, Lanu Uferinu Baretz. Now Hashem has made us space, and he has multiplied us in the land. Now Rav Sadji Goren maintains that this Hirchav Lanu is a request, not a past tense. They just dug a well. Hirchav Lanu? Yitzchak said the well was a sign. It was something that would indicate that the future, everything would open up for them. Things would be broad, things would be spacious, things would go well in the future, because you know the well was kind of like a, almost like a litmus test. And once this well went, and once they left him alone, from here on things would go unfettered, unmolested. Rashi says, "Ufarino ba'aretz." Ufarino means v'nefosh ba'ara, which means we're going to have a sense of freedom in this land. We'll be able to We'll be able to move about as we please. We'll be able to grow and to develop. So that's the story of the wells, and the story of the wells ends here. And at this point, we're going to hear about the enemies of Yitzchak, who see his success and all of a sudden say, you know, maybe we shouldn't fight with him. Maybe he's really cool. Maybe he's a really good guy. Maybe because he's been so successful, now we should have peace with him, which actually doesn't make that much sense. Before he was successful, that was a reason to fight with him. Now he's successful, it's a reason to sue for peace. But does that, it doesn't make any sense? If we're not successful, they call us losers. We're parasites. If we are successful, we're paying more taxes, then they call us usurpers. We're stealing. Okay, our neighbor's never happy. That's the way it is. So the faster we get used to that, the faster we'll be in better shape. But this is the story with Yitzchak Avinu, and as they say, not much has changed. Ramban says that these chronicles of Yitzchak, they parallel and mirror and presage the future exiles that the Jewish people will experience. So let's take a look now on page Shin Dalad Mem. This is going to be Simen Chav Dalad, the Parshas Toldos. And this is going to be a beautiful overview of the three wells and seeing how the three wells speak of far more than water or even just the success of Yitzchak, but rather the activities of Isaac presage what will happen for the future of the Jewish people and how the wells represent a specific paradigm of holiness. So we'll begin today's lesson from the Biuri HaChumash with a quote from Ramban. Ramban says, Be'er, Simen Chav Dalet, chapter Chav Dalet of Parshas Toldos. It doesn't say Shin Mem Dalet because that spells a negative word. So it's the equivalent of page 344. Be'er Mayim Chayim, a well of living water, Yirmoiz, says Ramban, is indicative. It's a paradigm of Beit Elokim, of the house of God. Asher Yasu Banu Shel Yitzchak, which will be built, established, created by the seed of Yitzchak. What are we referring to here? What's the Beis Elokim? What's the house of God? Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash that we will build was likened and metaphorized as a well of living water. V'kara Harishan Esek. The first well was called contention. Why was that? Yirmoiz Labayis Harishan. That is symbolic of the first Beit HaMikdash. What happened with the first Beit HaMikdash? It was destroyed. After 410 years, it was destroyed. Hasheni, the second well was called Karashma Sitna. It was called quarrel. Sham Koshem and Harishan. There it was even worse than the first. The first one they contended. The second one they openly quarreled. But who habayit hasheni? That's the second Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash was occupied by the Assyrian Greeks and spiritually destroyed and then later restored, but not by a very savory fellow, by Herod, and eventually destroyed, totally destroyed, much worse than the first destruction by the Romans. Vashlishi, but the third well, Kara Rechovot. The third well is broad and spacious. Third well, Hu Habayit HaAsid. This speaks to the third eternal home, the home that is yet to be built, Sheyibana B'mheda B'yameinu, that will be built speedily in our days. So that's the third well. First well, first Beis HaMikdash, second well, second Beis HaMikdash, third well, third Beis HaMikdash, and that will be the sign that from here on onward, we have a spacious expanse, we'll be able to continue to grow and to develop. This is a quote from Ramban. That's a Ramban teaching. So the Rebbe says, in the Sefer Megala Amukos, which is teachings from the Baal Shem Tov, written by his disciples. So in Megala Amukos it says, Sheshloishas ha'ovos him keneged shloishas amudim, that the three patriarchs correspond to the three pillars upon which the world stands. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilut Chasadim, the idea of Torah study, the idea of offerings in the Beis HaMikdash, which today, in lieu of this, we have prayer, and last but not least, kindness. So Avram, Gemilut Chasadim. Avram represents the idea of loving kindness. Yitzchak represents the idea of Avodah. The Avodah is, because he was a korban. As we know, Yitzchak couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. He's considered an Olah, he's a korban. So as a korban, that wasn't going to work. And therefore, he represents the concept of prayer then. The Yaakov, Father Jacob, represents Torah. So now, kind of viewing Ramban through the prism of Megala Amukos, we could explain Hatam Lakach, the reason Shabbat HaMikdash is Nirmez Dafke Bekeshel Yitzchak. Why would the Beit HaMikdash be symbolized? Why would the forerunner of the Beit HaMikdash be found in the chronicles of Yitzchak specifically? Not in the paradigms of Avraham Avinu. Even though Avraham Avinu builds three Mizbechot, the Mizbechot, the altars of Avraham, do not speak to us about the third Beit HaMikdash, the second Beit HaMikdash, or the first Beit HaMikdash. The achievements of Yaakov do not presage the building of a Beis HaMikdash. What does? Specifically, the efforts of Yitzchak. But that makes perfect sense. Yitzchak corresponds to the pillar of Avodah. And Avodah means offerings in the Beis HaMikdash, prayer, but that means really offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. Ikra, its primary function, is in the Beit HaMikdash. So that's number one. So the Rebbe says, when you look at the teachings of Ramban, through that prism of Megala Amukos, we now have a new understanding as to why this idea of three Batei Mikdash would be alluded to specifically in the efforts and the achievements of Yitzchak. And interesting to note, it's not the wells that he dug in which he was redigging the restoration work from Avram's wells. This is Yitzchak's wells. Yitzchak didn't leave behind the past. First restored everything his father did. Then he went on to do his own thing. Only after he secured his father's legacy and ensured that Avram's efforts would not go forgotten and that they would continue to function, then he began to make, so to speak, his own mark on society. And it's in those wells that we find the allusion to the three Batei Mikdash. The Rebbe says we could take this even further. We could say further that it's not only the idea of Yitzchak, but it's specifically Yitzchak's well digging. Why is this? B'chafiras be'er, when you dig for a well, and I've never done that, but I think we all know what it is. You know, you just dig and dig and dig, and eventually you hit pay dirt, you hit the water. So when you dig, k'dei limtza mayim yeshnes shnei tzdadim. There are two very different sides of this work. Mitzad echad, on one hand, this a chafira nasis bidei adam. The digging is done by people, and it's a strenuous effort. He dereshes yigia rabba. Digging wells is not easy labor. That's tough stuff. That's like digging in the trenches. And benigud lamayan, this would be in sharp contrast to a spring. Shenivra kach bidei shamayim. Springs are, they're just there. You can happen on a spring. Nobody works to create a spring. The spring is there. The mouth of the spring is open. It's available for you. You go there, you find it. Conversely, however, the well is something that you work really hard in order to be able to find. But on the other hand, inasmuch as the well is symbolic of so much human achievement and effort, so much hard work, on the other hand, the water that wells up in the well, which is why it's called a well, you didn't pump the water in. If you're pumping water in, that's not a well. If you have a real well, what happens? You dig, you dig, you dig, you dig, and then the water rushes through. It doesn't come with our efforts. Ha'adam rak meser es ha'ofer ha'machasa. Essentially, what does the person really do? He simply removes or uncovers that which was always there. The water was always there, but somebody had to remove all the filth. Get rid of all the dirt, all the silt, all the rocks, the soil and the stone and the sand. When you got rid of all that, now the well is available. After you, so to speak, peeled away the cover, after you removed the concealment, then the water has just come up on their own. So the Rebbe suggests that Shnei Tzdadim Elu Kayamim Gam BeBeis HaMikdash. It's these very two paradigms that we find within that, both within the idea of constructing or building a house for Hashem. Etzem Ashra'as HaShchina, the notion that God's presence might dwell in a particular structure built by people, Ba Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that has to come from God's volition. God decides He will dwell. You can't manufacture Shechina. You can't simply create the presence of God. It doesn't work that way. However, Aval Kadei SheHashchina Achen Tishra, in order that you should merit that the Shechina should dwell, For this, you have to work very hard. And that's efforts mitzad bnei Yisrael. Aleihem mutal livnei says Beis Hamikdash b'koyach avidasam v'giyasam. The Beis Hamikdash must be built through tremendous toil and effort expended by who? By all of Am Yisrael. In fact, it's a personal mitzvah. Every one of us is responsible. The only Jews who are not responsible to build the Beit Hamikdash are the small children whose study we do not interrupt, and their teachers. But only the Torah study of small children is not interrupted. Everybody else stops whatever they're doing. And everybody else has got to do everything possible to build the Beis Hamikdash. And it's a lot of work. It's a big deal. As the Pasuk says, V'asu li migdash. You should make for me a migdash, which is a verse that's used to explain to us that there's a mitzvah. There's an actual mitzvah to build a migdash. However, at the same time, then God says, you build it, I will come. You build it though. I will come, but you build it. The Asuli Migdash, you make for me a Migdash. And then after that, the Shachanti B'Seicham. And this, my dear friends, really, one could argue, is a paradigm of what life is about for us. We're trying to bring Mashiach, but we can't force the hand of Hashem. We can't push a button and force Mashiach to come. But we have to try really hard to bring Mashiach. When Mashiach will come, that's because Hashem will decide Mashiach will come. Our job is to do everything possible to hasten and accelerate that process. Our job is to cajole, to beg, to yell, to scream, to ask. In fact, a Jew who simply davens every day and says Berachat HaMazon asks for Mashiach almost 80 times a day. That's our job. Hashem wants us to ask for Mashiach. Hashem wants us to add more mitzvahs. Hashem wants us to do everything we could to speed up the process of redemption. But the actual redemption, that's in Hashem's hands. That's not on our hands. And when the redemption will come, what will happen? The third Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. And that's Hashem, the one who makes that decision, so to speak. That's God's volition. Our job is to get ourselves to that point. And so that's the idea of the Be'er. It represents the concept of building a house for Hashem, because building a place for the Shechina necessitates tremendous effort on our behalf, but at the same time recognizes that ultimate success is entirely, so to speak, Bi'idei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the hands of Almighty God, our Creator.
So why are we going to be exempt in the third?
Not so simple.